Can everybody hear me? Awesome. Well, hello everybody. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I'm so grateful just being able to serve in such a critical way as give the lesson today, Father. I pray that I speak powerfully, and I just pray, Father, that people are encouraged by the words that are shared, Father. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. So, the title of the sermon today is Making Wise Choices. Raise your hand if you ever made an unwise choice. All right, okay. Awesome. You're in the right place. But, you know, we all make choices, bad choices, good choices. You know, my wife and I, you know, we recently moved here, and if anybody's ever had to sell and purchase a house, you make about a million choices in about a three-month period. And it made me think about, do I make choices by myself, or do I probably, you know, consider my wife, but do I ever consider God? So that's what kind of led me to doing this sermon today. So let's consider some of the big choices that we do make in life, some that really greatly affect our lives. So we're going to go over some suggestions for making wise choices. Also, what to do when we have made the wrong choice. And I, you know, said earlier, we all make unwise choices. So let's go and talk about our first choice that we've made, or the biggest choice that we need to be making is which probably affect our life the greatest, is choosing Jesus. Will you follow Jesus or not? Will you become a disciple? Or will you refuse to accept his gracious offer of salvation? Now, some people, when they chose, it's been a difficult decision. Some people, not so much. It was easy for me until I had to make some tough decisions. Then it didn't become so easy. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 11. We're going to read verses 28 to 30. Says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now this one decision will affect your life more than any other. It will determine the place in eternity. It will have a bearing on every decision you may consider. When I was counting the cost with my minister, I was a single parent, and my parents were retiring up to Central California, and they asked if I wanted to come along and they could help look after my son. I was like, awesome. Now, if you're familiar with Central California, it's beautiful up there. It's a wine country. It's gorgeous. And, I mean, who wouldn't want to live up there? So I was all ready to go. And when I counted the cost, the minister said, you know, I think it's best that you stay there. I mean, stay here in Los Angeles. And I was confused. I said, well, I was making these really good arguments. But his argument was, I had to follow Jesus. I can't follow what I wanted to do. And that really helped me making that choice to stay in Los Angeles, even though I hadn't really had a job yet. I didn't have a place to live, and I was a single parent. I had to work out daycare. Had all these obstacles to face. Which was I choosing? If I went to with my parents up in Central California, it would have been an easier path. But staying in Los Angeles and having all these obstacles to face really shaped and molded me for my future journey as a Christian. So, are you, as a disciple, will you be concerned with doing his will? As a disciple, you will not simply, you know, do your own thing. When Julie and I moved here, we moved from Los Angeles to Memphis, you know, we had a lot of things to consider. One of them was there a church in Memphis? When we moved from Memphis to Jackson, what we considered was there a church in Jackson? Yeah, we knew there was a church in Jackson. So, you know, freedom is great. I mean, I love freedom. But I think our current culture becomes less, we consider less about our choices. Without Jesus, we have less to consider. You know, you remember that saying, I don't know if you remember this saying, Trevor, but I think Henry will remember. If it feels good, do it. That saying, I think, has embedded itself into our culture. When we have less to consider, there's less meaning into our lives and less fulfillment. Well, I learn from following Jesus is the bottom line. Life is a lot like, you know, I think of life as a lot like, you know, being on a budget. You have a limited resources, and we have these thoughts called choices to consider. There are many times when we need to be creative with our choices. You know, in the 1980s, I sold everything and got a backpack, got my passport, and I traveled to New Zealand with a backpack through New Zealand, and I hitchhiked everywhere. And you're thinking, you what? You hitchhike? I didn't think anybody did that anymore. Well, the 1980s, backpackers, that's what they did. That's how they got around. And actually, it was a great way to meet people and develop relationships, and you would always hook up with other people, see other people, you know, further down in your travels. And I actually got to pick kiwi fruit for about 6 weeks. And I got to work up a relationship with the manager there, and he told me about his travels, and he went to Canada. But he had his own car, and he told me that, you know, he thought he had too much freedom, because he can go whenever he wanted. He didn't really have to accommodate much. He just went where he wanted to go, and he didn't really get to develop relationships that I got to. So I think life as a Christian is kind of like that. It's kind of a journey. You're backpacking through life, but it's much more fulfilling of the choices and the considerations that we have to make. It says in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, you don't have to turn there, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for the wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few find it. Are we as Christians still considering Jesus in our choices? Are we just part-time yet? The narrow only becomes narrower. So we went and talked about choosing Jesus. And everything kind of trickles down from there. I want to talk about choosing a career. Even the worldly point of view, our choices are important. The job market is always changing. The wrong choices could lead to financial ruin or financial hardship. Even if though your intentions may be good, life happens. More importantly, the choice can have lasting effect. Your marriage and family, your service to God. Do we have the faith that our profession, co-workers, and employer will be blessed when we include Him? I was reading that machines will do half the work or half our work task by the year 2025. And that's not too far away. Now, I was telling Sydney earlier today that I went to pick up some things from Lowe's. And when I choose something at Lowe's, it takes me a little while. I'll stare at a shelf for half an hour making a choice. And I was walking by the lawnmower section. And I just saw a lawnmower. It was similar to my Roomba, where they mows the lawn automatically for you. And that, just like, that was just kind of like, just a few years ago, it was, I know, it was something you just heard about, but now you see multiple models, and things are going to be really changing in the future for us. We can't control the events of this world, but God gives us free will. How will we respond? Our decisions are called choices. You know, my friend, I have a friend in Los Angeles who's a surgeon, and he's the hardest worker. He's more grateful. I mean, he's someone you would want to emulate. Yet he had to close down his business because of COVID-19. Now, he did all the right things, and he's still in financial hardship. In Proverbs 19, verse 21, it says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. If making money the primary factor in your decision, then destruction will follow. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to go ahead and read 6 to 10. As for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves from many griefs. So it's the love of money. But what do we love more? But we're going to talk about choosing a mate. Now, both Julian and I have been married before. It's great. I didn't really start healing from my first marriage emotionally until I got remarried and became a Christian. And then I got to see how God really worked my life with the bad choices that I made in my first marriage. So our marriages, physical choice, will determine to a great extent your degree of happiness. You ever heard of the happy life, happy wife? The same true with a happy husband. No one likes having an unhappy parent. In Proverbs 12, verse 14, it says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like a decay in his bones. It will have a permanent bearing on your children and their emotional well-being. You may think you can simply divorce a person if they turn out to be a bad choice, but once you have children, there is no way to reverse the choice you made as to who is the mother or who is the father of your children. And in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, it says, the Lord God, all-powerful of Israel, hates anyone who is cruel enough to divorce his wife. So take care. Never be unfaithful. So I would say take care of the choices you make. Number three, we're going to talk about choosing your friends. Now, everybody has friends, hopefully. It's nice to have lots of friends. It's good to have lots of good friends. It says, having friends, being easily influenced can be a blessing or a curse. Having close friends can be a wonderful blessing or a very terrible curse. And Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. But the wrong friends can be a curse. I've done many things that I swear I would never do until I had a friend or I had a roommate that did things that I would never dream of doing. Yet, I did them because I'm so easily influenced, which is my strength. It already could be a curse for me. When I became a Christian, it was my strength. In Proverbs 12, verse 26 says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So in 15, verse 33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And the opposite is true. Good company corrupts bad character. Choosing where you live is very important. It's a very important thing. Upon what choose where to live? Is it based solely on how much a house we can afford? Is it based upon the location of our work or school? Do we still consider whether it will help or hinder our service to God and His church? I mean, does anybody ask themselves that anymore? Let's go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm going to start from verse 9 and read all the way through verse 10. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in the book of the law and turn to your Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So that scripture stood out to me the most when I made that decision to stay in Los Angeles and not to move to Central California. You know, I didn't have any daycare worked out, but God worked it out for me. I didn't have a job yet. I was still finishing school. God worked out that for me. And he worked out the perfect place to live. And eventually circumstance, but that's not always the case. Or we might impress our bad experiences with somebody. So it's good to have many advisors, that way they get a holistic approach to their decision. Proverbs 11:14 says, "For the lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." In Proverbs 12:15, it says, "The way of fools seem right to them, but the wise listens to advice." So there's great sources for counsel. We have the Bible, you know, especially the book of Proverbs. And we have older, mature Christians are good to go to seek advice. But some of the best advice I have gotten from people or new Christians, just setting up the chairs for Sunday service. It's good to have many advisors. So commit your choices to the Lord is a good thing. Trusting that you have made choices pleasing to Him, put them in His hands. And Psalm 37, verse 5 to 6 says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Make your choice with the understanding if the Lord wills." Sometimes God's answers can be no. Then James 4, verses 13-15 says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know that what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." One might even ask the Lord that if what choice, one might even ask the Lord that if a choice is not according to His will, that you might frustrate it or carry out another, you know, something else, or just make His will obvious. A bottom line, include God in your decisions, making it, if you wish, to make wise choices. So, how should we respond to wrong choices? You know, learn from the mistakes of others. Focus on moving forward and remembering God's grace. Christians walk, it's not only difficult, but, you know, it's impossible. Remember, you have God's grace with you. You know, do what Paul did, accept and live. Accept the forgiveness Jesus provides. This is our last scripture. If you can, to 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 and 16. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me trustworthy, appointing me to the service, even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy that in me, the worst of the sinners, Christ Jesus might display His immense patience as an example for those who believe in Him and receive eternal life." Be determined to live for the Lord the best of your ability. So the wrong thing to do, remain in the choice you made because of your pride or for some other reason, wallowing and just feel sorry for yourself over the guilt or loss. So in conclusion, may the examples in the Bible teach us the importance of making wise choices, serve as a warning not to make our decisions lightly. May we ever be open to wisdom from God and the counsel of others. As we make our choices on our careers, our spouses, our friends, and you know where we live. So have you made the most important decision you'll ever face in your life as following Christ? The decisions that will determine your eternity, eternal destiny, the decision to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If we have chosen to follow Jesus, there will be times when we will lose our way, but, you know, that's okay. With God, every day is a new day and a new beginning. To show how much we care for Him, how much we love Him, obedient we will be to Him, ultimately, that's what matters. True everlasting wisdom does come at a price. And Jesus paid the ultimate price to give us a second chance and hope and to free us from the guilt of bad choices from the past, present, and future. Let us learn and not dwell on the poor choices, but the promise that lay ahead. God be the glory.